The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe. And it's that time of the early morning that we discuss everything that is happening, especially locally, regionally, continentally, and internationally. And it's that time of the morning that we encourage constructive criticism, constructive engagement, especially when you want to move our country to the right direction, because it's through thinking, it's through discussions that we are able to come up with practical solutions. And also, it is also through, you know, deep engagement, especially on the ground, that we learn and unlearn. And in this morning, we must be able to understand that apart from you waking up with a positive mindset and also looking at the future, it's quite very important, it's quite crucial to be able to understand that for us to move forward, we must be willing to have uncomfortable conversation. We must be able to be, you know, you must find a point where what you have learned at school, what you have learned from experience, what you have learned from those who did not go to school, come and meet, and to the point where you are contradicting yourself, to the point also where, you know, you are challenging your thinking. Because if you were never confused in life, you will not understand. Because in the current world that we are living in, we are living into a world with a different perspective, because there are knowledge that we have learned from school that are working, and there are also knowledge that we have learned from school that are not working. Then you combine that with street wiseness, then you also combine that with those who have experience, then you'll be able to understand that life is a matter of learning and unlearning. And when you understand that, then you'll be able to be an understandable citizen who not only contributing in terms of being a participant in the economy, but also in terms of thinking. Because even if we are not the main contributor to the international financial system or to the world of capitalism, one of the greatest investments that we can be able to do is an investment in our knowledge and also investment in our skill. And when we have invested in our knowledge and skills, then it's better, and we'll be able to not only operating within the system, but also to be able to create our own system. You know, yesterday I have attended, it was a launch of Career Expo, and quite beautiful. And when I came, I was on my way to work, I was asking myself to say, yes, it is a very beautiful thing to have Career Expo. People must understand what they need to study. But do we really looking at skills? Did we look at streetwiseness? Did we look at people who can be able to build industries? Did we look at the aspect of entrepreneurship, real entrepreneurship? Because we must be able to speak what we want. Because remember, I'm not against anybody understanding how career guidance is working. But we must be able to understand that we are at a point where we have more professionals than industries. But it could be very important if, when we are doing our guidance, the aspect not only of entrepreneurship but industry building, innovation should also be central in that aspect. Because currently what we are speaking, if there is more needed events at high school and primary school, either science fair, either entrepreneurship days, maybe entrepreneurship weeks, maybe innovation weeks, skill development weeks, because where we are now, we are at the point where It's not only about what you've studied. It's also not about where you studied. It's about what you do. How are you going to play within that system? And it's also about the industry. How many industries are we going to build? I was giving an example, and I was saying this with respect to say, let us give an example of having two openings within a certain ministry, for example. Let me say it's an HR practitioner junior position within the ministry. Then you have 20,000 HR graduate, just for example. Then all these are top performers. They are believers. Then Namibians, we are religious people. Then they go to any church, any. They say, no, praise me, the Lord, I applied for this job. And this is exactly what I need. And give me guidance so I can work so hard I can pass this interview. Believe me, it doesn't matter whether you prayed the whole day or the whole night or 2 weeks or 30 days. What the effect of the matter remains that you still have two positions. And only two people out of those 20,000. Now, if we mentor our people so well that they choose best institution, best careers, but we are not building industries, but we are not taught those things, then we are not going anywhere. And that should be the reality. And, you know, just before we move to the real conversation for today, there was a point where, you know, being a black child from the village and you come to town, and then you think the education is the only thing that will take you somewhere. There was a time, you know, after I got my first refund, I messed it up because I did not know money. I never touched 20,000 in my life until I come to the university. Then I told my uncle to say, you know what? The next time I get this money, I'm going to look for a financial advisor. And he started laughing, and it's an old guy now. He started laughing to say, no, you know what? You guys of nowadays, wisdom is going to kill you one day, because this thing, you are making it even worse, because you need to learn, because you don't understand. Because somebody, ask yourself this question. If you are going to pay now that financial advisor, I'm not saying you should not go to financial advisor. You are even supposed to pay me because I'm giving you this knowledge. Because ask that person who is going to advise you, how much money does he have? And I said, no, I'm going to pay a financial advisor because I was so stubborn. But I realized to say, yes, I got advice here and there. But I realized that this guy was a guy who I was supposed to pay, because he was so streetwise. He understood the game very well. And it's just a matter of us not be able to think beyond the obvious. But that is also one of the things that we need to look at to say, in terms of where we are, if you want to win in life, we must not only look at school, but we also must look at people who have experience, particularly people who have failed. I'm saying one day when I'm going to get married, I'm not going to look for an A student who became a social worker, who became a marriage psychologist. I'm going to look for somebody who have experience, maybe divorced twice, understand the unwritten rule of how to be with women, and also how to be with families and all these things, because that is experience to you. And where you are going to learn the unwritten, you know, experience from life. But yeah, that is part of it. And we are always indicating to you to say, wake up, wake up. It is necessary to wake up and think, wake up and go to work, wake up and do your planning, wake up and do your best. Even if you do not know where you are going, wake up and plan the day. Because through the planning, and the most importantly, acting on the plan, do not be like what we do not want. Say, no, we have a lot of plans in Namibia, but there is lack of implementation. Be an implementer of your plans, even if you implement from step one until to the point where you have accomplished what you want. So we are going to look at what is happening the continent of Africa, what is happening. And it's interesting, because when it comes to money, No, Rwanda is one of the countries in Africa which is not only strategically positioned, but have a unique, different history. But the way it also building its relationship with the world is quite different. It's a bit, I do not want to say militarily strong, but a bit advanced in terms of technology, and very good relationship with the United States of America. And understand that all the presidents, or many of the presidents who went there in White House, they never really criticized directly Rwanda. They never really speak, they can speak about Mugabe staying for long, but they never really speak about Kagame being in power since the 90s. They never really speak about that. But it depends on how they position themselves and also what they give to the world. But what is stated here is that Rwanda says UK owe $130 million over scrapped asylum scheme. Rwanda has filed an arbitration case against United Kingdom, saying it's owed more than $130 million as part of cancelled asylum scheme. The submission to the Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague, the East African nation, says Britain has breached the term of the Migration Partnership Agreement in 2022. Under this controversial deal, London would pay Kingari to accept asylum seekers and immigration who arrived in Britain illegally. That is happening between Rwanda and United Kingdom. Rwanda has indicated that UK must pay them $130 million US dollars, especially based on the agreement that they have entered into in 2022, especially the agreement that is regarding the return of asylum seekers and statistics on migration. International migration are able to indicate to us that thousands and thousands of Africans are in Europe looking for asylums. Some have asylums, but the government of UK has also made it very clear to say most of these guys are returning to their houses because even the services in the UK are not accommodating all of them, because everybody's running to Spain, Portugal, France, the UK, and looking for opportunity. And what is interesting also is that when these guys are going to Europe, for you to get an asylum, number one, you must be persecuted. You must also be at the point where you are running away from something. That is why some of these people, when they go outside the country, there was a case where people are saying, no, we are being persecuted because of we are the third gender and all these things. Some they run because of political persecution. But you realize to say that could not be really the case. The case here is the perception of opportunities, and also people want to be outside the country. And remember, when we were looking at the World Barometer report on tourism, you realize that it's Europe with the highest number of tourists and travelers, also illegal immigrants. But in this case, with Britain and Rwanda, Rwanda said, you have to pay us, you have to pay this money, and we take you to court. And we are waiting for the decision of Court of Arbitration in The Hague. We are expecting the decision is to say who is going to counter this request, and how is the process going to be. And The Hague, being in Netherlands, you also ask, although it's an international court, at what level of objectivity it's going to be. You really think you can win against the US in the court in New York or in the court in North America? Maybe it could be, But that is what is presented. Yeah, looking at Mozambique, they stated that after weeks of deadly flood in Mozambique, many left homeless. Some they found refuge in makeshift camps, and the death toll expected to rise, especially in Mozambique. We spoke about climate change. We spoke about climate change. We spoke about the impact of climate change in Africa. We also spoke about the contribution of Africa to the so-called greenhouse gases. To say we are not the player, we are the victim. Especially when it comes to global issues of pollution. We are not the players, we are the victim. The countries who have industrialized themselves using coals and fossil fuels are saying, now you guys, you must stop. But you remember that when scientists are making calculations, it's actually not Africa that is contributing to greenhouse gases. We only contribute 2 to 4% there, the whole continent. But 96-97% of those who release greenhouse gases are those who are continue to use fossil fuel. Then you realize to say at what point and how are we going to operate. And looking at what have been happening in Mozambique, Zimbabwe and South Africa, especially for the past 2 weeks, it's a deadly flood, and the latest flooding has claimed 140 lives since October, with an estimation of over 100,000 of people got temporary shelter. For now, let us look at the commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation, especially with African news, before we go to the main conversation for today. We're going to speak about the credit rating system.
Spend less and get more with Budget Beaters at WB. Get a 2-liter Rietfontein juice for only $36.99. 5 kg nice rice for just $87.99. 4 kg Kadila chicken portions for $189.99. And 2 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for only $57.99. See more month-end specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn-out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 6x1 liter Right Brand Long Life 4 Cream Milk, only $119.99 per pack, and 5 kg Rice King Long Grain Parboiled Rice for just $89.99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 8 February 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 31 minutes past the hour of 6. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8. And looking at what is happening in Africa. It was stated that the gold mine collapse in South Sudan killed 13, injured 6. A partial collapse of a gold mine in South Sudan has killed 13 people and injured 6. The state mining company have stated that was yesterday. And this accident happened at Abaddon Shaft in Fakron Mine in South Sudan. And looking into this aspect, you can also be able to realize that regardless of the wealth of South Sudan, they also have the Zamazama people. They also have those who do illegal mining. And in that aspect, people end up in difficult situation, particularly when you find yourself at mining illegally or mining at an abandoned mine, because there are no protective equipment, there are no measurement, there are no engineers. It's a do or die. You go and finish out what is left, and many people do not make it. It also stated that despite war, Sudan gold production reached 70 tons in 2025, the highest in 5 years. However, much of the gold smuggled across borders into Chad, South Sudan, Egypt before reaching global market like United Arab Emirates. Only 20 tons were exported through official channels last year, said the finance minister, which means that out of 70 tons of gold produced in Sudan, it's only 20 tons that were exported through official channels, which means that you have more illegal miners than those who are mining within official channels. That is telling you the operation of African countries, and it's telling you also to say, if we have illegal miners in the country, who are the buyers of these minerals? It is the same thing, not only with mines, even with illicit financial flow. If we speak about corruption, for example, in the country, speak about corruption in Namibia. There's an ongoing case of Fisher Road, where Namibia we are prosecuting each other on Fisher Road, which I'm not saying is not a good thing to prosecute somebody who committed a crime. But the main culprit is not here. The main guy who initiated corruption, what is so-called mastermind, I don't think that Uribe is a mastermind. We are giving him credit that he did not deserve. The masterminds are not here. Those who ate from our own resources. And you want to tell me that with their sophisticated financial institution and their government and their agencies, they did not know that money was coming in their country through those means. And it's a question that we need to ask ourselves, to say sometimes Africans, we are too hard on ourselves, and we are hanging each other here in Africa. But the beneficiary of the corrupt practice, or the main corrupter of note or corrupter in chief, is not really here. Those who are benefiting from our own resources are not here. Those who enable us to open offshore accounts. You want to tell me that there's no government in their country if they are developed states? It's the same thing which also happening in South Sudan, that apart from producing a lot of gold in 2025, imagine 50 tons they go illegal, while 20 tons they go to official means. It means that something is not right to them, not only within the government, but also within the influencer, which means that the illegal miners have more power than those who are mining official. And how much now the government is going to get through tax, which means that when you operate in the black market, there's more money in the black market. But what can be done to make sure that this of what is happening in Sudan should not continue, or should be reduced or eliminated completely? It's not only in Sudan, it's in Namibia, it's in South Africa, it's everywhere, although at different rate, at different resources. And you're asking yourself to say, you can speak about any resource, you can speak about diamonds. How are diamonds lost, like what happened last year? How are they going to enter official market? Somebody must enable that. They are within the black market. How are they going to enter the official market? So we really need to understand beyond the obvious, and we need to think beyond the obvious, because it's not only about us Africans. It's also about those who are operating the bigger system at the stratosphere level that are also contributing to these things, because we may be the scapegoat. We are also participant, but the main beneficial is sitting somewhere in Dubai, sitting somewhere in New York, sitting somewhere in Panama, sitting somewhere in Iceland, while we are here beating each other, protesting and overthrowing our own government, thinking that when we overthrow them, there will be changes, because the controller of the system is not who you see, but what you see are faces. But yeah, it's something that we must really think of. But for now, let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll continue with African news. Then from there, we'll look at the credit rating system and what African peer review mechanism has to say. Especially when wisdom is catching up with us. We have been running away from wisdom for quite a very long time. Now it's catching up with us to realize, to say, if you are not fair, we are not playing with you, we are not working with you anymore. Because it's quite for a very long time you have been rating us, you have been advising us, but things are not working. Maybe it's not only going to end with Africa Import and Export Bank. Maybe it can also come down to countries, come down to states also, to realize, to say, you've been advising me for the past 30 years, but I become worse. I become worse and worse. Why can't you go? Then I come up with my own system. Maybe that which I understand, that which I control, that which I also fund. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll move forward.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kondado inawa nuneudo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatu imwe bali heali Nola natu heali bali no heali Ile konderewa Nora etatu natu Bali o etatu watatu O mafelane Eagle FM Di ae Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida Ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo Iho etike kovano ile koshuwana Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM Otuna evi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa Nuneudo otukwetira o special Geta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka Opone ushendi fenawa Nukumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatu imwe bali heali Nola natu heali bali no heali Ile konderewa Nora etatu natu Bali o etatu watatu O mafelane Eagle FM Di ae
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 42 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are looking at continental affairs, especially on issues of economics. And, you know, with finance, with the loans, with investment, we must be able to admit that Africa, we need to do better. We really need to do better. And we must also have a spine at some point and also have a ground when we are making decisions, because the game of money, in the game of money, particularly financing for development, we are losing. And the way we are getting money from the outside world is like we don't trade even. It's like we don't even have resources to offer. It's like we need aid. If you look at a country such as Malawi, I've been indicating that Malawi without international support, it is going to collapse completely. Without international support, because it's on life support. Go and look at where Malawi is standing. Its financial statements are on life support. It needs aid for it to operate. It needs aid for it to pay its public servant and also to support its business. In fact, it's like an orphanage. You are running an orphanage. But I'm speaking this with much respect. Maybe it will be a time, there will be a time where Malawi will come to the point of standing on its own, maybe realizing that the game that they've been playing for a very long time is not a good game. Maybe it's a time for them to look inward, look at the new partners, and look at the new agreements, because even the way they change government, it's indicating to you that citizens are not happy with the system, not really with the people. Because you can't remove somebody, you bring him back, you realize to say the other one, if it was even worse, then you realize that the problem is not the changing of political parties, but the problem is the system. And it should also be a case study too, to learn, especially to the student of economics, and also those who are interested in international development, because where Malawi is standing, where international institutions are standing, it's up for, not only for the loan sharks, but it's up for all the sharks. Anything can happen. But yeah, we are speaking this, especially when we are looking at Zambia. After back and forth, after Zambia refused also to extend its assistance, or to extend its invitation of IMF, it was finally indicated that IMF approved final review for loan to Zambia, which will unlock 190 million. And this can change the whole conversation of Zambia looking inward for domestic investment. Because these guys, they also led us to speak things that will not last for 2 weeks. Because at one point, Zambia was saying no. We are not going that way anymore. But it seems like IMF, Southern African region, has approved the final review for loan to Zambia, unlocking 190 million. And when this thing are presented, you only see 190 million US dollars. But I must be able to see that there are interests there. And there are also punishments when you are not complying. And there are also, you are not only getting money, also getting advice on how to use the money, where to invest it. And you realize to say, you find yourself only using 40% of that, and 60% is going back there indirectly, where those who are going to implement those projects maybe consulted are from the West, and companies are from the East. And you realize to say, it's not really 190 million that you got, because some money they have already left by the time they are approved. And if you read the book of Economic Hitman, you read it at your own understanding, you interpret it, you take out the effect, and you compare. I'm not saying it's entirely true, but you get the picture of who is funding you and how much of that money you are getting is going to be used really by your people, and how much of that is going to be used by international corporations again, and the money being in the circle. And when you don't do that, when you don't comply, then you receive punishment. Either it's political punishment, or either, you know, your people will also suffer. But in this aspect, it is stated that the International Monetary Fund has approved the final review of Zambia lending program. This fixed and final credit facility by IMF Board of to South African nation, unlocking 190 million. And in 2022, Rusaka wanted to get IMF funding of 1.3 billion, which was later revised to 1.7 to help to avoid debt, default, and other economic issues. And at that point, Zambia also hoped to secure 145 million loan extension, but later withdrew its request because it's a back and forth. It's a back and forth. At one point, they wanted an extension in their loan with 145 million. Then they later withdrawn. But in this aspect, you realize to say, although Zambia is the main producer of copper, one of the top producers of copper in the world, especially Copper Belt province there, Mafurira province, you realize to say, this it's also a critical situation. And the government is also faced with the general elections in August there. Then any simple mistake, a decision that you make, will determine your future, particularly your political decisions. But if we go back to Zambia and finance, Zambia and IMF, you realize to say Zambia and IMF, they were not really good friends, because what have happened after counter government is during the structural adjustment program is that at one point in 1993, the total external debt of Zambia was at $6.4 billion. And how did this happen? When you have structural adjustment program, these programs of international financial institution were based on the fact that you need to change the way you do things so that we give you money. You don't need to invest more in social affairs, which means that you cut on health, you cut on school investment, cut on public health, you focus on privatization, focus on opening up the border for free market. Then things were collapsing there. And I think Zambia should also go back and learn a lesson. Maybe this is a different era, but learning a lesson is crucial. It's necessary for you not to repeat the same mistake that you have done. And also to say, when African countries or African leaders were speaking at the G20, when they were speaking at EU summit after G20, did they really mean it when they speak about international financial architecture to change? Did they really mean it? And what's so contradictory in this aspect? Because one thing that we forget is that we forget to track the records and progress, and also the direction of leaders. Remember when that William Ruto came to power, he was known as the Obama of Africa. Good oratoric skills, speaking so boldly about Africa needing to stand on their own. The slogan of a hustler become a president was known in Kenya. Speaking so boldly, I remember at one point, I think it's a World Economic Forum, but there was a platform in France when William Ruto spoke to Macron and also spoke to the head of IMF and said, we are not going to tolerate this, and international financial architecture must change immediately because Africa need to develop their institutions and we need a system that accommodates us. And everyone was clapping hands, and we also need to produce our own thing. Now, just last year, when AGOA was not renewed, Ruto was the first person again to say, no, we need to sit with America, we need to sit with America, we need to sit and talk, because, 60,000 people are going to lose jobs, Kenya will also lose out, we need diplomacy and all these things. And you're asking yourself a question to say, really, where are we standing as a continent, particularly dealing with finance? And that is also the topic that we're going to speak about today. who is reviewing us, who is advising us on our budget, who is funding us, who are we selling to, are we making profit, and what are we using money for. If you take a calculator and then you understand Namibian population, then you understand how much money is circulating in Namibia, how much money come and go in Namibia, then you'll be able to understand that it's not only about the system that we need to change, but we also need to understand that some of the skills that we are learning from schools are not the real skills, because the real skills, we are supposed, there are a lot of things, especially with the international financial system, that not even a financial advisor, a chartered accountant, can be able to learn from, because it's beyond the obvious. And to also be the right time, when you start seeing the patent coming to, you start seeing similar pattern, maybe it's also the time to learn. Maybe it's also the time to learn from African wisdom, to say, when you start to feeling more wiser, understand that I say that you are in a trap, or you are about to make one of the worst decision. Because if you are at the place and you are feeling that I think this one is the best decision I'm going to make, you need to step back ahead and say, am I not in a trap? The same way when you are at the place and you are too comfortable, things are moving very well, you have the drink that you want, the love of your life is here, the account is okay, and you are feeling so cool, you must think twice to say, no. This is not, it's not real. You say that you are about to make a wrong decision, or you are in a trap, then you ask yourself that, I'm not saying you should not feel comfortable, but something that look easy with maximum benefit can really be something which is most dangerous, because you have to work for everything, and you can't feel too intelligent than the whole world, because this world, a lot of people who work with who work on top of this earth where super wiser than all of us at some point. But it's about how you make a decision, not only because of you, but a decision which can be able to impact your people. But the question that you're asking is a kind of dilemma about to make a right financial decision, or the worst financial decision, because this will also determine whether it's going to get a second term, or is not going to get the second term. And remember, the politics of Zambia, I was talking with my supervisor at the front, especially when speak about Zambia. I said, no, Zambian politics is not an ordinary politics like yours, guys. It's very complicated. And you look at the history of presidents, the history of their system, you also ask yourself a question to say, apart from finance, apart from leadership, apart from change of government, you may also want to know to say what really happened to Edgar Lungu, a whole head of state who died last year, not yet buried, because of the politics of Zambia. But let's see what will happen in 2026. Especially when it comes to finance, politics, and how Africans are going to position themselves. And the question also of asking to say, are we united as a continent? I'm not against IMF. IMF is a very beautiful institution. But it does not respect Africa at some point, particularly with its rating, particularly with its interest. But the question is that, are we learning from that? Because they don't say, come to us. You go there with your proposal, then they beat you in their own game, because they're also making money from you. So that is what we really need to look at. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can move on with Early Morning Scoop. You can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401, so that you can air your view, you can ask your question, can come up with your direct constructive criticism. Because when we are agreeing with each other, we are not learning. We need to fight a civilized fight We need to fight a democratic fight. And that is the only way that we are going to learn. And if you are only with people that are agreeing with you, only two things: that you are at the wrong place, or it could be that, you know, those who agree with you every time, it could be that they are not caring about you, because somebody must be able to teach you, must be able to advise you. And I'm always telling my friends to say, if you are always agreeing with me every time, then I also become suspicious to say that you don't, you are not caring with me, or you are not a real friend, because you can't like everything that I do. You cannot agree with all my perspective. But we must educate each other respectfully. And arguing or having a different view, approach, doesn't mean the person is counter-revolutionary or a person is a sellout. But your ability to understand perspective and handle both of them at the same time also maybe be the beginning of wisdom and making right decisions. Because in Namibia, currently, what we need to do, apart from everything what is happening at the global space, we need to agree that at some point we have messed up. We need to agree that, and we also need to agree that we need a new formula that we are using. We need to be innovative, because the whole system that we've been using is not working. It's not working. We need to come up with an innovative way of doing things. Either it's from business operation, either is from operating of SOEs, either is from policy making, either is from financial enabling institution, particularly from the perspective of supporting local businesses to expand and compete internationally. Because if you listen to the words of Tate Sankwasa, to say so far, after independence, Namibia did not come up with a company that compete internationally. Company that compete internationally. And we must be worried if we do not have a company that all Namibian companies that can compete internationally. We must be worried about that. Maybe regionally. How many of them competing in SADC? At what level? Then you understand that something somewhere is not right. Something somewhere is not right. If a creative person like I Show Speed can make over 30 million before the age of 30 million US dollars, and what is that we need to do to make sure that we up our game? Could it be that the environment is also allowing him to do that? Could it be that the infrastructure is also allowing him to do that? Could it be that the background and the support of people around him are able, enabling him to do that? Could it be that the right environment too? Then the question is that what are we doing to make sure that we get it right and not only compete internationally, but to take out our people from poverty. Let's look at the short commercial break, then we move forward.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu mbali o etatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM. The eye. Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu mbali o etatu matatu oma felane Eagle FM. The eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 5 minutes past the hour of 7. I understand most of you have already started work or you are on your way to work. It's a very good thing. And when you're on your way to work, you must not only think about yourself, you think about others. Think about what will happen in the next 20 years. Think about the future of your kids. Think about not only about your survival, but if you are a long-term thinker, the decision that you are making today will be able also to live and also outlive you, especially regarding where your children are going to be, how they are going to survive, and also how things are going to be. And also, I'm always indicating to say there is something that we can do within our control, particularly learning and unlearning. That one is free for everybody. In terms of who set the pace, who set the competition, who is controlling the international financial architecture, that does not matter. But the fact that you're able to learn and unlearn, it's easy for you to make right a decision, and it's easy for you also to navigate forward, because everybody wants to be different. Not to change completely from your parents, but you want to be different, at least an advanced generation or the racing generation, especially when it comes to not investment, when it's coming to financial decisions, when it comes to building of industries, and when it comes to development of the country. And the decision that we are making today will also live with us. And when you make those decisions, when you're an adult somewhere, when you only have wisdom, when you do not have energy, you will be able also to think about what you have done. Don't be a regretful adult while you have an opportunity to learn, while you have an opportunity to make decisions. Because one thing I have started learning is that being with adults is quite advantageous. Being with old people is quite advantageous, because they see what you don't see. The only problem with them is that they don't have energy anymore. And when you are going out and dance, at least sit with your grandfather for 20 minutes. You will learn one thing or two. Because they may look old, but these guys, they are very big in terms of how they think, in terms of how they also deal with people. Because at the end of the day, when you get into trouble, they are also the last person that you have to look into so that you get those assistance. Because I was reading the biography of Trump and what his father did to him was a very good thing, because he made sure that not only connecting Trump with bigger guys, but look for mentors. There's one known mysterious lawyer called Loy Kohn, who was Trump advisor, or is known to be the lawyer who made Trump to rise. And he's a guy who taught Donald Trump how to fight, to say, if you lose financially, you must win in the public. If you lose in the court, you must win in business, and you must continue fighting until you win. And one of the best things that happened is that Trump was actually a very good student of life, especially from adults, because people that he stayed with, he was a good learner. And I'm not saying he was a good student of politics, but he was a good learner when it comes to business. But in the capitalized world where politics and business is mixed, he's also on top. I don't know for how long, but that is a debate of another day. And what's also interesting in his biography is that at one point, Mark Tyson was making more money than Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was an advisor, was hired actually by Mark Tyson. And what is interesting is also that at one point, Mark Tyson got bankrupt too. And you're also asking yourself to say sometimes, I don't want to say black mentality, but there is something that we really need to look at to say, how come you hired a financial advisor, then money get into your hand, then, you know, you just messed up everything. But it's something interesting to look into. And you look at the relationship between Donald Trump and Mike Tyson, and you look at that lawyer, Loy Kohn, very ruthless, but practical guy in business. But just the wisdom of elders. But that is just something which I brought about. But let us look at what is the main conversation for today. Today we are going to speak about credit rating agencies. A credit rating agency, for your own understanding, is an institution. It's a firm that can be able to assess your credit worthiness, assess the level of risk that your institution has, and also be able to give you reports that can be able to be used either by investors or by an institution that want to give you loans. When an institution such as World Bank want to give you finance, they don't only look at you, what you propose, but they're also looking at the level of risk that you have, and also they also look at the ability for you to pay back the money. And what is interesting is that what has happened in Africa for quite a long time is that most of these credit rating agencies, especially those who are looking at who are providing independent assessment of credit worthiness of various entities and also financial instruments, most of these agencies who are evaluating risk which are associated with lending investment have also been influential in the operation of institutions that get this finance. And you'll be able to realize that these credit rating agencies, most of them are not based in Africa. Now, what have happened in the recent days is that Africa Import and Export Bank has said to Fitch rating system, rating agency, to say, thank you very much for working together with us. We no longer going to use your service at this point in time. And then goodbye and bye-bye. Now, what have happened is that the African peer review mechanism, which is self-assessment agency of African Union, came on board and say, look, when the decision of import and export, Africa Import and Export Bank, is quite very important, because it's not the personal, it's not because Fitch rating agency has downgraded African Import and Export Bank, but it's only because that these institutions are not in line with African values. Now I want to a little bit look at what Dr. MC Blind Mkalamba said. He said that the APRM assessment is that it is evident that this decision is not a reaction to Fitch ratings downgrading Africa Import and Export Bank in June 2025, nor the prospective trajectory or the future rating, but they underscored that the fact that at the time of downgrading, Moody Rating undertook a similar action, and both agencies continue to assign Afrexi Bank rating that they are broadly comparable and remain with investment grade. And rather, this decision is just not in line with African objectives. Now, let us look at the Imba app. Then we can continue.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Congratulations. You survived January. With USAFE's affordable combo, you're set for February too. For just $599 Namibian, you can get 10 kilogram of nice parboiled rice, 10 kilogram champion super maize meal, 10 kilograms of Pokomo fed cooked flour, 10 kilograms of marathon of brown or white sugar. That's $599 Namibian for 4 large bags of essential products. We all save at USAFE.
Yeah, I want you to listen properly, especially with these two diplomatic words. When somebody is telling you to say, you've been rating me based on lies, and we are no longer require your service, and any future assessment will not be tolerated. But and somebody said, a diplomat is somebody who can tell you to go to hell, but you are going to look forward for that direction. They know the art of words. They know how to pick their words. But I want you to listen properly to say what Dr. Kalamba have said is that he underscored the fact that the time to downgrade moderating undertook a similar action, and both agencies continue to assign Afribank a FlexiBank rating that are broadly comparable and remain within investment grade level. Rather, the issue relates to the quality of rating analysis itself, including the rationale, analytical framing, and interpretation underlying risk sources. When a credit rating departs from the fact-based issuer-engaged analysis intended to inform investors and instead relies on speculative or prejudicial assumption, it undermines its core purpose. In such circumstances, an issuer is fully within its right to discontinue the rating relationship as a matter of consequences. Any future rating issued by Fitch in respect of the bank would be unsolicited and non-participatory, and therefore risk misinforming investors, say Dr. Mkalamba. And in simple terms, just to say, Fitch rating system, you were giving analysis based on speculation. You were not looking using the facts, and the bank, Africa Import and Export Bank, is within its right to break that relationship. And for the future, you are not going to be useful anymore because you are not factual. Now, what does this mean? This means that a credit rating agency, which was a connector between Africa Import and Export Bank and investors, its service is terminated because it was not using facts. Why was it not using facts? Was it because it has motive behind it? Because the report of a credit rating system agency has an impact on how much you are going to get from the outside world, even from within, because these are the institution, I don't know established by who, but with the reputation of only able to rate you. Now, who is next? That is a question that you need to ask. But if you look at what the African peer review mechanism has stated, it also at the point to say moderating agency has also conducted similar action, which means that there is still moderating agency. I don't know if this now is a message directed to moderating agency or it is also an indication to say we are also coming to you. And now, this is now the game which is being played in diplomacy to say they don't offend you, but they are telling you that we do not want you. And when you look into this context, it's also a direct message to say maybe AU is also finding a way to stand on its own. Because when you look at what was happening last year, African Peer Review Mechanism conducted a study on a credit rating agency to say, what are these guys doing to Africa? What is the value of this credit rating agency? Are they productive? Are they revolutionary? Are they moving toward the Africa that you want? Because one of the objective of APRM is not only self-analysis of the African Union, but also a matter of looking at implementing of African Agenda 2063. Now, 2025 report analyzed the long-term foreign currency sovereign credit rating action in Africa, and also looking at the methodologies, the consistency, and also the impact of these credit rating agencies in Africa. And their study was on Moody Investor Service, Fitch Rating Agency, and S&P Global Ratings. Now, if you look at all these institutions that are assessing African institutions, African countries, and African financial institutions before they get loans, before they get assistance, their offices are based in New York and London. Now, one will also be able to ask to say, when APRM, when APRM conducted the study, what were some of the findings of this credit rating agency? Because if you look at the findings of this credit rating agencies, if you look at the findings that was conducted, you also be shocked, and you also understand that the decision was already made from last year to say some of these credit rating agencies must go because they are not African, they are not using our data, they are downgrading us, and they are also putting us in trouble, because if somebody has to determine where to get your money, how to get your money, you're worth $200 instead of $2 million, and somebody who's going to give you money is also not within your country. And this person, when you are giving him your data, is not looking at your data, and the person is not within your country. Maybe it's another aspect of implementing that aspect of to say this financial architect must really change. Now, the challenges of with the International Credit Rating Agency, one is the refusal to invest in continent analysts through physical presence in Africa. Refusal to invest in continental analyst, because if somebody make a statement from a think tank in UK about Namibia, it will be quoted across the globe. If somebody from, just for example, London School of Politics and Economics, a certain professor make an analysis or just produce a journal, maybe not even an international journal, just a journal which is produced within that university about Africa, then we have to quote this guy to say, this is what we are doing in Africa. We are not good at corruption in Africa, money laundering and all these things. But maybe this person never traveled to Africa. Maybe this person never did business with Africa. Maybe this person just read things online. Then when somebody from Africa presented something, I said, ah, no, it's just David, no, just Helmut, or it's just this guy, or just a professor from a university in Namibia or in South Africa. Not really. But I think it's also the time now for Africa to wake up. The other thing is also lack of debt transparency, eroding trust with Africa fiscal data. It stated that for years, rating agencies and investors have consistently flagged concern over debt transparency on the quality of fiscal data reported by African governments. It's to say, when African governments are giving their reports, especially when you want to work with international world, these guys, they don't really consider those reports seriously. And that is where the problem is. If you want to work with me, you must also be able to respect me. That is why they say goodbye to Fitch, maybe who is next, but that should not be the intention. And the other thing is also limited capacity in Africa debt management offices. But looking at the recommendation of the study is to improve credibility and accuracy of credit assessment in Africa, and also invest in continental analyst. This is able to tell us that for us moving forward from in 2026, maybe Fitch rating agency is with other African institution, but with Africa Bank of Import and Export Bank, they said goodbye. And maybe it's also a wake-up call to say, if you want to, if you are building your own house and somebody just come from outside, say, no, David, you need 6 rooms in that house, not 7. But this person does not stay with you, does not understand that maybe one room is for storage, one room is for my kids, and maybe also for visitors just coming and advising you from a distance. I think this should also be a wake-up call. It's not only for to African government, especially with the international institution, but also to understand that it's within your right when you find out that somebody that you have been working with for a very long time advising you on various projects, but your people are still hungry. Maybe let us get a critical assessment. I do not want to say chase who. Maybe for the sake of development, it's not really to chase, but to sit down with these people, especially our developmental partners. In Namibia, we get a lot of money from Europe, Asia, and the Western world. But the problem here is the advice that we are getting. Do these people really understand our need? Or that money is attached to continue securing within the financial system that they have created? Because if you compare from 2002 to 2022, for example, let's give it 20 years, 2002 to 2022. Then you look at how much money is circulated into Namibia, either it's through donors, either it's through developmental project. How many projects are standing and sustainable? Why are they not sustainable if I have an economist from who was working with World Bank, who is advising me? Why this project is, why I'm not making my own food if I have agricultural economics who was working with IMF, World Bank, maybe European Bank, but I'm still struggling to feed my own people? Then we must ask ourselves, there is really something that is not right. And if it's not working, why can't we find something that is working? That is why it's something that we need to look at, especially the issue of consultancy and who have said. Because if we are not doing that, we'll continue to be like this for the next 30 years, then wisdom will catch up with us when we get old. And when wisdom catch up with you when you get old, then you don't live for long. That is why I do not want to say when you get old, you don't live, when you get above 6, you don't live for long. But when wisdom catch up with you later, you end up regretting. And it's unhealthy. So we need to look into that. And also the way we think, to say, if you are only advising me in my curriculum on how to do certain courses, but you are not advising me on how to be innovative, and you are not giving me what I want, why should I continue operating with you? I want you to take an assessment and look at, just look at Africa. Look at, for example, our education system. How many institutions are stakeholders in our education system? How many consultants do we get in shaping our education system? How many external consultants do we have in our education system in terms of quality check? But within that education system, what is the productivity of our education system if you are looking at it from primary to universities? Because when you realize that it's not different from credit rating agencies. Look at Zambia, where it is. Zambia has been with IMF for a very long time. But where is it now? Look at Malawi. They've been with this external international financial institution, which in my view, I don't think they are bad. What I think is that we failed to learn a lesson. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we move forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 32 minutes past the hour of 7. We are speaking about continental decision, especially with APRM. And start liking APRM. I don't want even to miss any report that they give out, because it seems like particularly their research department, they are doing very well there, and they are consistent with what they do. Maybe it's also the time to strengthen that institution. Maybe we'll also be able to get the direction. So you can call back at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know. know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727.
Morning. Morning.
Morning.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, David?
Good. Today, you did not sleep, eh?
I think I did not sleep that well.
Oh, okay. How is your day?
No, we thank God. It has begun very fresh.
So it's almost Friday, ne?
It's almost Friday, and you know, for Friday for us is a similar day, except that it may bring a lot of more work.
More work, ne?
People travel, people do rush, and all these things trying to catch up with the plenty of things. And the movement are becoming so many as well.
But is it
thank God things are still fine.
Is it beautiful to be on retirement?
I'm telling you, very, very beautiful. But you know, this is not like retirement, because you are saying the old people must also learn.
Yeah, but you are the libraries. You must teach us those old tricks.
This year we can pass those knowledge and the experience to the generation that's coming and all things like that. Also to sustain ourselves, to be apt with the current change, the changing world. So you see that point.
Yeah.
When you were mentioning about the reviews and all these things, and I think we have been speaking about that, and our concern has always been that these people, that they are using this data, it's fine, so to do those kind of research and review and things like that, the rating. But many a times, I have also heard even people in South Africa sometimes back. They were complaining about this rating. That they don't really base their rating on most of the true facts.
And they don't have a lot of offices here. It's just a hub. You don't have an office.
How
can you come for 2 weeks here and you start rating me if I've been here for all my life doing my research?
Those are some of the loopholes.
Yeah.
Because using secondary data is not a problem.
Yeah.
You can use this literature review and all these other things to come up with these things.
Mm.
But many a times I think they have been so biased. And it's the bias that I think that really put us at the receiving end.
And when I look at it, it's like, you know, APRM have... I don't want to say smart people at the top, particularly the continental body has a lot of, fresh mind there, because they are telling you what is needed in a way that you are not offended, but you understand where you are operating from.
You see, no?
Yeah.
So I think I will also start liking that, just like the Madlang Commission and Ad Hoc Inquiry, which you have actually mentioned that we need to be following some of those happenings. And I've been doing that, and I think it has also transformed me and has given me more insight and understanding as to when it comes to criminal issues, more this infiltration, and a lot of manipulation. I think I'm not so sure whether they have a part to play, or maybe they were also working with some of those things that are happening. Because when you look at some of the work, especially the Donald Trump, and maybe one of the reasons why he doesn't come to Africa is also maybe it's because he's using that as a tactic to say, yes, Africa It's not stable, especially in South Africa. And when you see the happening in South Africa and things like that, I'm sure those ratings might have contributed, even though things are really happening there, and they were really happening. Mm. But they don't put us at the level where one can say yes, really. So last time, they put Namibia as a very unstable country in terms of investment and things like that. Mm. And they were saying, yes, Nigeria, during the time when the Boko Haram was killing people, and even when the West Africa was not really stable, there were a lot of unrest and civil war going on there and all these other things. But they were saying Namibia, Nigeria is better. Not necessarily because in terms of the population and the economic power and things like that, but the political environment, the social environment, the economic environment there. They were saying Namibia was rated lower than Nigeria, where killings and all these things that were taking place. Mm-hmm. And I was questioning them.
What I'm thinking also that maybe the rating should also not get into our heads, because at some point we will end up start behaving to be praised by what the world is looking at us to be like. Because sometimes if you look at where we also don't need to defend ourselves, because if somebody said you are a lower income country or lower middle income country, and you are arguing, sometimes you also need to look at to say it could be that there were also some truth, although there are also things that and that does not make us innocent. You understand?
Yeah,
it should not make us innocent from the rating too.
Well, you are correct. Actually, there is always room for improvement. That one must just be a warning for us to make sure that we strengthen and our institutions and our process and all the system must be really vibrant. I mean, you must be in the way that it's supposed to be. Of course, we have a lot of challenges, but the way they exhibit those kind of things, it creates some kind of fear. And if you portray a picture that is not really true, but of course they are true in it, I'm saying that yes, it's very important that they point all those things to us so that we can fix them. But the way they do it, it's like, it's like something that is a no-go area.
But you know, one thing which I also look at, sometimes when there's this thing to say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, or how do they call it?
Yeah.
When you are against somebody who was doing bad to me, you become my friend. But when you start doing it to me, I also start fighting you. But you know what it is? Now, we may praise African peer review mechanism, because now I think these guys, most of them are academics. When APRM said Fitch Ratings agency, you are not in line with African objective, is good that you are not going to be used by African Import and Export Bank. We are clapping hands to say, yeah, international influencers. Now, the same African peer review mechanism conducted study, for example, in Namibia to say, although Namibia have showed stability in terms of peace and democracy, in terms of coherence of institution, Namibia is moving a different direction, although they want to do the same thing. Then we start criticizing and say, no, stop there. You see what I mean?
Right.
You see what I mean? I think it's also time to look at those things to say, if we give credibility to APRM, we must also implement what they do, because we are saying we don't want somebody from outside to come and assess us. But if somebody from inside is assessing us, we are also fighting the same person. I think we must also be fair with that.
You are absolutely correct. You know, especially when it comes to those institutions, where we usually get some support, maybe loans or whatever. And I remember at one point I was reading that Africa Peer Review mechanism or whatever.
No, you must read them. They produce really variable data in the reports.
That time when it was headed by our ambassador, Mvura, you know, these other things, they were really coming up very well with a good report and things like that, that we can improve and implement and things like that. But when you look at the other rating, the other agencies reporting on the same issues, but you discovered some kind of very big discrepancies. And you now find out that, are these people really biased? Well, of course, they are pointing to some things that are really true, which we need to improve in terms of, you know, building our democracy and all these other things. But you wonder, and they are even rating at the point where you might not even get some kind of help from, let's say now, International Monetary Fund and those World Bank, African Bank and things like that. Now it's kind of that pattern. But when you look at our situation, at least it's not maybe comparable to some other countries, but we are always rating like that. So South Africa is rated like that. And all these other countries are rated like that.
Okay.
But are they not biased in that kind of thing? So we also need to have our own strong institutions that can really give us a proper rating. Unlike these other ones, of course.
What is proper rating to you? Is proper rating to you what is in favor of you or what the institution is?
It may not be necessary in favor of us, but where there is credit, give credit where it's due.
Okay. Thank you, then. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah. You survived January, and ShopRite is here for you. So you can survive anything. If you can survive a month with 20 weeks, you can survive anything. Let's go to ShopRite.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like 72-page A4 College Feint and Margin exercise book for just $4.99, 80 GSM 250 sheets Typek A4 Photostat paper for only $54.99, and 2x40 gram Stadler glue stick value pack for a low $39.99. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more. For back to school savings only at ShopRite.
Go ShopRite e u bane go tsara go e go go pitropo o na o limo pumbe o kene o dira ke gemo ya nwari o ino shironga mi pumbe wanga shi e pakete jo magenego right brand long life o di tere mo gerimo ga mano ko do re sire no longo no we no sendo mi no go we no we o ke jinta no do ru shiro king ro forget data ko do mi no go heta tu no we no sendo mi no go we no we tare na pano ShopRite po bi pirango e dere ti kusa January no fanifa thingi ziriko si go ga heta tu ga February no vo ShopRite, kondando diripevi, to vuroku inekiraruhi.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi totanjuka okukwetira oipindi konu kondado inawa no neuto o tukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa o marudi dai loka o pone o jende fenawa nokumona o ijamoyi nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Yeah, it's 47 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are looking at international rating agency, international credit rating agencies, especially when it comes to assessment of financial capability, ability of the institution and also states to pay back the money that they are getting either from international investors or domestic investors. And also, where are we going to, especially when you want a credible rating? And also to look at the objectivity of issues to say when, for example, an international media writes something about Namibia, then we say, no, these are international, you know, external forces want to destabilize Africa. When the local media also do it the same, then you start saying no, you start criticizing. But there must be a line to say, yes, something must be foreign, but what is the real, what is the matter really? Yes, if they are buyers, they can go. But if that problem continue to persist, there must be something that need to be done. And I'm also not saying what the APRM is defending is entirely 100% true. Could it be that they are also angry that Africa Import and Export Bank is downgraded in 2025? But the fact must remain to say, you know, if you continue to change mechanics and the car is still not moving, you must be able to understand that sometimes it's not about the mechanics. It's about the problem. Sometimes it's about the problem. You have to understand that the real problem is still there. Maybe it's now the time to go to the electronic machine that can diagnose the car. That is how things are, especially when we deal with international institutions. Because if we... Let's give an example of, we spoke a lot about unemployment. Let's speak about corruption. When international agency are speaking about, no, Namibia, you are rated here. You have illicit financial flow. You are not able to finalize your cases of, money laundering and all these things. And we give you until May 2026 to put your house in order. Then we say, no, that is just a financial action task force. We may agree that it's just financial action task force. Maybe it's just international body. But if we also start to see it in ourselves to say, no way, why after 2019, somebody who was born in 2019 is at what grade now? It's not even in kindergarten anymore. You must be able to understand that if you start prosecuting somebody 2019 until now, you did not finalize it, something is not right. Maybe the international institution are also correct. Then what do you need to do? You need to change. You need to finalize your issues. When you speak about incoherence in terms of institution, don't just say, yeah, it can be external forces, but if we are seeing it, why are they so chaotic at the beginning of every year? Like we are changing curriculum every year. Why are they so chaotic? Universities, high schools, parents, learners and academics. Then something is not right. And it's something that they need to be looked at, not only in terms of rating, but what do you do about it? The question is, what do you do about it? because it's not about the rating. We should not operate based on getting marks. We must get the job done. And yeah, we are yet to see. It's 2026. And next week, the head of state will go to parliament, go to August House, and also present, I guess, a state of a nation address to the public to see what is in the coffer of the president, what is the relationship between the executive, the August Houses, and also the judiciary, what are key main issues, and also what are the key achievements too that have happened in the past, you know, you can say a year. This is more than 100 days in office. It's not new. It's no more about laying the foundation. It's about practical reality. We are yet to see what will happen on Tuesday, especially in Parliament. What are going to be the main focus? What are the policies that are going to be looked at, especially 2026? And also, in terms of passing of laws, how many of them were passed last year? And how are we going to harness this relationship between ruling and opposition party in parliament? Because the other time the president was complaining to say, no, you guys are not doing anything, you are sabotaging. You are, she did not say you guys, but she stated that opposition party are deliberately blocking or extending the debate unnecessarily without making right policies so that development can happen. Maybe it's right time to find a working formula too. And also to speak to our lawmakers to say, you know, when you're elected to parliament, the party politics was supposed to die. Yes, you may shine there, but you're a lawmaker. It's not written anyway to say you push your political party when you're in parliament. You're in parliament, you are working for everybody. And maybe it's the right time. If a policy is good for everybody, politics will isolate or will make you narrow, will give you a narrow approach, because if you are making a good policy, that is also impacting the child that you left at home. If you are focusing on better education policy, if you are focusing on finalizing PEGA Act, the functionality of SOEs in Namibia is not a political related thing. It's something that improves everybody's lives. Yes?
So, you mean the president that you refer to is speaking the same language like the current president, Nemini Thabo Mbeki? That laws and bills and all these things are being delayed deliberately. Is that
come again?
What I'm saying is that I remember the recent concern of from the president, Nemene Thabo Mbeki, saying that yes, there's so much deliberate effort to delay the passing of laws.
Yeah, it's the same person we are speaking about.
Yeah, but you mentioned that this concern was also raised by the late president Hage Geingob.
No. I did not say that.
Oh, but they have been doing that anyway. So deliberately, just to delay some of those progress.
But you know where the problem is also, ne? When we want to be fair, sometimes we must look at the facts too, to say, okay, when there was majority votes, or when there was dominance in August House, how many laws were passed? How many of them took us out of poverty? Or is it only now?
Or you mean even when the majority
was it effective 2019 to 2024?
I think so. I think so. When you
compare just don't think. Just give me.
I don't have the rating. I don't have the statistic now.
Yeah.
But if that is the case, if it is saying so, that yes, now currently people are deliberately doing that.
Mm.
I know even in the past it has been like that. Even if you were the majority, the majority part, you still need some kind of refining and purifying those kind of law.
Mm-hmm.
Because even among yourself, there could be those who have different opinion when it comes to certain registration or whatever issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not mean that because you are in the group, so you are always right. No. So there could be some areas or some members who think that my comrade here or this brother here, this one is actually needs some refining.
Okay.
That one is fine.
When you look
but
at...
But if there are deliberate efforts to hinder that progress, that can also be spoken out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the president has said it, and it has been happening. Maybe he has been observing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So now that there are many, maybe they are delaying those progress more than what they were delaying before. Even when the majority were maybe the ruling party, for example. And I know most of the laws that were passed by then. If they were still, maybe they were not just doing their work as the president is saying. But there are deliberate efforts. Some people were even saying so in the public, saying, no, we are going to hinder this progress. We are going to hinder, we are going to stand as obstacles. But one wonder now, are you not going to save the Namibian people?
Mm.
By saying so? So I think let's just make sure that we speed up our performance. And make sure that, yes, we are not regarded as if we are maybe now the opposition or whoever.
Yeah.
We are not, they shouldn't be regarded or come to the point where even the public.
Mm.
And these things actually deprive them some kind of support. Because people are also watching outside there and are observing.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah. That will bring us to the end of our conversation, especially with Early Morning Scoop. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Choveri to unpack the day. Thank you for listening to Eagle FM Namibia and continue listening to other programs. I'm seeing here in the poster, Mbaranganja is back. And to see what he has for us today with Kufa Musha. And yeah, see you around. Bye-bye and sharp.